888-663-6386 email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. If you like to try some essential oils, we think Meridian has got some of the best ever. She's been doing this for 30 years as suppliers all over the world. They know exactly if it's a steam extraction or what it is. It's all wildcrafted. They don't, you know, they're pure, it's pure, it's pure, it's pure. Can get its Living Libations, and you can look on the front page of One Radio Network, Living Libations, and you'll see that link there. It's really just a real sweet website. You can get hair care stuff. You can get poetic pits. They got some beautiful things for your pits and your teeth, your hair, your gums, shampoos. The cleanest of clean. You wouldn't find anything in there that you wouldn't, you know, just consume. You just wouldn't find anywhere in there. We're kind of playing around with something that you guys could probably play too, but you don't have any gray hairs, you guys, you two? Do you have any?
I don't have any, honestly.
I don't think you do either. I don't think I, so you can't play, but you could if you want. We're doing the Great Natural Hair Color Reset on One Radio Network, okay? So we're all doing this together. And we started 10 days ago, and we're using, our main thing we're using is Samson's Hair Tonic from Iodine Source. But you can join any time because it's going to probably take 3 or 4 sessions before we're...
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And this is an Edgar Cayce thing, guys.
And we use iodine.
So what he did was, it's an intergalactic blend of pepsin, black snake root, American ginseng, liver extract, and detoxified iodine that have seemed simple enough at the time that Edgar Cayce, he brought down from the other planes of reality. And what you do is you take a little bit after each meal, I think a half a teaspoon in water, and then you do it for 10 days, and then you go off 5 days, and then you go back on 10 days. I'm going to do my second 10 days tomorrow. And what it happens is it changes the whole endocrine system. It recalculates the endocrine balance and allow the hair to grow out depending on the circumstances. And it may take 2 or 3 sessions to do it, but it turned down Phil's hair from gray back to his natural color. He's got a picture there. Isn't that cool?
So
we're doing that. We're doing that. But also the second part of this great natural hair color reset is we've just simply told our body that's what we want to do. Now, this is going to be the most important part. So it's really interesting. People are calling me and are emailing me and asking me, well, how do you do that? I said, well, just tell it. I mean, it's no more simple, no more. Just tell it. You know, your soul, you're in control of everything. We change our DNA. We change our genes as soul with our consciousness. So you just say, okay, here, when you come back, I want you to come back to my natural color. End of conversation. There's no argument here. So that's what we're doing. So we're doing those two things, and it's a great natural hair reset. And if you'd like to play, you can go on One Radio Network and do the Iodine Source, and you can do that. Okay. Previously, with research scientist at MIT, Stephanie Seneff, PhD, and the curious connections between these glyphosates, Roundup, GMOs, and sulfur.
So if you simply put the glyphosate in place of the glycine in the sulfotransferase, you will not be able to get the sulfate from the cholesterol sulfate to some other molecule, such as the heparin sulfate. The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. But it's really, really important to be able to do that because, for example, cholesterol sulfate, it delivers sulfate to the cells. But in order to deliver it, you've got to take the sulfate off of the cholesterol and put it on something else. And that's where the sulfotransferase would come in and wouldn't be able to do that.
I know, gets a little geeky, but the point is that without the proper amount of sulfur in the body, and now it's being disrupted because of the GMOs, even more than what it was already doing, it's not good. So we think that this sulfur product that we've been promoting is really helping people to keep everything kind of working well, because this whole sulfur cycle is kind of God's way of keeping the bad guys out and exiting the body. And because our sulfur is absolutely pure with no additives, it's different from almost all the other ones out there. You can click an order, three prices, right on our website, oneradionetwork.com.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Okay, everybody gets to sing along. This is the Boom Daya song. The Boom, Boom, Boom Daya.
I love the mountains. I love the rolling hills. I love the flowers. I love the daffodils. I love the fireside when the light's low.
Talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
We got to do the Boom Day at least one time when you guys are on, don't you think? I mean, it's like it's kind of a standard with you two, you know, because you do play along, you know, and you dance during the Boom Day, and my other guests don't do that, so I really appreciate it.
Did you see Rich's feet go up in the air?
I did. I saw his feet, and it's great, you know. It's the whole Boom Daya experience. You know, you gotta have that. Oh, hey, if you're on hold, stay right there. We're going to get to you. We're going to get to all your emails, even though we're playing around here more than we're working, but who cares? Dr. Jennifer Daniels said something really interesting Monday. And so I don't know how we got talking about it, but it was all about these autoimmune things, you know, like lupus and what are some of the other ones, you guys? You know, all of them.
There's now 169 officially recognized autoimmune processes. Yeah.
And she says some of these big ones like lupus and some of the other ones she mentioned that she says that she believes this is all a syphilis thing.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
and the syphilis came in with vaccines long ago. You know, that, and it started with the, that big experiment in Alabama.
Yes.
What was the name of that one, Doc? Schenectady?
Yeah, something like that. And it's a pretty dark story.
Yeah, they put in the syphilis here, and they just wanted to see how the people reacted to it, right? They were veterans. And this is all documented stuff. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. You know, they really did it, you know. Anyway, so that's her conjecture, and that if they would just go after the syphilis, which they did have a cure, and they still do today, I guess, a lot of different ways you could go after it, that a lot of this stuff would go away.
No. Yeah, there's a homeopathic remedy called syphilinum.
Syphilinum?
Syphilinum. Wow. And it can be very effective at working at going deep into those things that are, you know, from our ancestors.
Yeah, so maybe those of you who do have some big-time autoimmune thing, just for fun, contact Meridian, right? She'll get you hooked up with a syphilitum thing, homeopathic. Try it. I mean, it's not going to hurt you, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if Dr. Daniels' conjecture is right, and all of a sudden your little lupus symptoms go away, right?
Hey, it sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, man. I'll do it.
Patrick,
what trick?
I was wondering if you've ever talked to Dr. Jack Cruz.
Yes, we have. Over the years, I think we have several shows with Dr. Cruz on the air, on our archives.
I am just kind of amazed at the work that he's doing now with light and understanding native EMFs and the difference between toxic EMFs and positive EMFs.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll check him out.
Yes, yes. And the relationship of almost every biophysical process being regulated by light, and the importance for humans to be out in real light a lot more than any of us think we need.
I believe you're right, sweetie. Boy, I sure feel better. Do you when you get out there and get a lot of sun? Yeah, there's something going on, yeah. Of course, Dr. Cowan's talking a lot about that too, right? Get out there in your bare feet and...
biochemistry of it all.
What's that?
Chris is getting into explaining the biochemistry with our mitochondria and our Krebs cycles and, you know, all of that stuff. So I really highly recommend you get in touch with him.
I will, yeah, yeah. He's a paleo guy, right?
You know, he was more of a paleo guy. He is so really into following what our ancestors did. So that's more variability than just paleo, or you could call that paleo. I mean, it's the whole idea that nature provides different types of foods at different times of the year.
Sure.
And but in nature, we never had things like giant apples and, you know, giant oranges and things like that. Those are all hybridized. So if we're looking at the real foods that our ancestors ate, he's really into a lot of seafood and a lot of organ meats and things like that.
Seafood and organ meats, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you mean Whole Foods wasn't around 2 million years ago? Oh, man.
I mean, wild greens instead of, you know, the sweet, you know, watery greens that we typically
eat. Yeah, that's what Cowan is doing. Have you seen any of his products with these?
Oh, I have.
Oh, I just got three more. They're just, wow, they're amazing. He's dehydrating these wild kind of things that you don't find. I got a wild turmeric and a burdock in a powder and another three different greens. So these are so fun to have around because they're dehydrated. So they really are loaded, you know, with a lot of nutrition, right? Dehydration. And you can put them in your smoothies your green drinks or, you know, just add them to stuff. Boy, I don't think you can get too much of this stuff. Whew, man.
It's amazing what he's doing.
Have you tried some of his things, Marty?
I haven't yet, but I sure want to. I mean, I've known about them for quite a while.
We got a link on our site if you guys would like to try it. Just scroll down to Dr. Cowan's garden, and he's got these wonderful these powders, and they're in a Myron glass and everything. We'll be able to get to some of these emails. Or if you're on hold, stay right there. Here's a fellow that wants to know about... he feels like he's got some scarring in his descending colon, like the sigmoid kind of place, because he had ulcerative colitis, and was wondering if he had some ideas how he could heal that up. He doesn't like the vitality capsules. He said they're too strong. Patrick, do you think the Allolax would be helpful too? Yeah, I really like the Allolax a lot. It's in our store. It's a wonderful product to keep things moving. The aloe is really gentle. The Vitality Capsules, which people really like from Dr. Daniels, I did one or two, and it was way too strong for me. So I like the aloe idea, and you can keep those things to keep everybody moving along, little doggy down there. But what do you think, guys, for maybe some scarring in that colon?
Well, the one thing that we know is that colon tissue replaces itself pretty quickly.
Does it?
I'm not sure how deep in, you know, how thick the scarring is in his tissue. There's two homeopathic remedies that are wonderful for helping with scarring. One of them is homeopathic silica, and the other one is actually homeopathic mustard seed called Phyosaminum. But the thing is that those are so good at getting rid of adhesion and scar tissue that if you have some kind of an implant in your body, you do not want to use them because it will get rid of the scar tissue that's holding the implant in place. But they're very, very effective. Silica is also oftentimes used also for a splinter. It will help to create pus where the splinter is and push the splinter out of the tissue. So anyway, those are some homeopathic ideas. I don't know whether he's talking about a constipation issue, a loose stool issue. When people have ulcerative colitis, they can go back and forth between both. So the key here, you know, ultimately would be for him to maybe find himself a good functional medicine doctor or somebody really understands diet to work very closely with to help to reestablish a healthy gut. And that's going to be unique to each person. But we don't know enough information here about, you know, what to recommend as far as what's causing this and how to work with it.
Right. From my standpoint, I think that if I felt like there was some kind of scarring or somebody not happy down there, I would do a lot of aloe. I think aloe is probably one of the most amazing healing things on the planet. And I got some. We have a great one in the store where they use the skin and the gel from, I think, Desert Essence. Or just buy a big aloe plant and just, you know, cut things off and eat the whole thing. I like the skin and everything. It's really bitter. But, you know, man, whew, what a healing plant that is.
Well, orally, what I used to do is take the skin off, put all the gooey stuff inside the blender with a grapefruit. And I would blend that up and use just a little bit of stevia. And I found it actually made a pretty delicious drink.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh.
And I also used it rectally. So, I mean, I've taken some of the gel that I've taken right out of the plant itself and used a catheter with a syringe and sent it back up into the tissue mm-hmm. because it's a very healing substance to the skin. It helps to form a healthy protective layer.
Ellen in Santa Barbara writes, what do you guys think about neem oil applied topically, especially as an antimicrobial, but for other uses too? Do you have a brand recommendation? Neem oil.
I've used neem a lot for when I'm making a natural mosquito repellent. It's used a lot in gardening to dissuade insects from hanging out on the plants. And I believe Ayurvedically it was used for the liver, but don't quote me on that, internally. And I typically will blend a whole bunch of oils with neem oil, and it had some really good effects with protecting people, even when they visited the Amazon, where there were gazillions of mosquitoes where they didn't get bitten. I like it for that purpose.
And neem is traditionally used, too, in Ayurveda for the teeth.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
They do use
it. Yeah, neem toothpaste and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people put on their hair, too.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I think, again, they're using it to in an antimicrobial way. So some of the new things that we're learning now is that we don't want to use any antimicrobials in the mouth.
Yeah.
That we want to support a healthy biome in the mouth. So I don't know if I consider neem as an option for my mouth.
Oh, but they've been doing it for thousands of years in Ayurveda, so they must know something, Marini.
Yeah, they know something. And so I think the catch here is that in America, we use the term antimicrobial because it's the accepted word.
Right.
And I don't think that's what's happening. I don't think we're actually killing microorganisms when we put neem on. I think we're rebalancing. But the only way we've been able to talk about it is through killing and war metaphors, because that's our culture.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, let's take this call. Dare we pick up the phone? Because you never know who's there, but oh, well, we're brave. Okay, good morning. Who's this?
This is Robert in Houston.
Well, oh, wait a minute, Robert. I tell you.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Robert in Houston is calling. Okay. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, Robert.
I was sitting there thinking, I could see Dr. Massey sitting there shaking his head saying, if the professors in medical school can only see me now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did, and, you know, that's why they gave him a hard time. You see, that was the problem.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I was thinking whenever I fill out the forms, whenever I go in a doctor's office, they say your primary care physician. I write down Dr. Massey.
Good for you. Yeah, I would too. That's what I would do. Good luck with finding him, right?
Well, I got good news and bad news.
All right, which one do you want to do first?
bad news is the doctor told me I'm going to die.
Yeah.
The good news is he said he don't know when.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Did I ever tell you, Robert, that one time the doctor told me, he gave me like a 4 weeks to live? Like years ago? 4 weeks.
Get out of here.
I do, seriously. And I said, man, I owe you a lot of money. He said, okay, well, I'll give you a year. Gotcha. Okay.
Well, I got a question for Doc. Doc, I finally went and got some blood work 2 years after that Harvoni treatment for the hep C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And virus is negative. All the blood work looks okay. So I guess all the fatigue and stuff that I got is probably all in my head then, huh?
You know, I don't know about that. So, you know, the blood test that we basically do in medical school, the things that I learned, they're just to see if you're ready for big time drugs or hospitalization or surgery. They're not really designed to look for optimal health. So if I'm tired all of a sudden, there's something off. It's just the test I got didn't cover that. So that's how I would tend to think of it. But I'm glad all those numbers are good.
Yeah, liver enzymes are all down in the 20s. Wow.
I'm telling you, that sounds good to me.
One number was high, and this is one of my questions. They did a antibody titer test, A, B, and C. A, B was okay. The hepatitis C titers was way out of the range, up in like 11,000 or something. So I guess that means that I still got a bunch of soldiers running around looking. And can you explain that? Why would they still be making them? Or don't they clear out? And then I've read where, you know, they may be like that for years. So could that be why some people have so-called autoimmune? Is there any? So explain to me what the negative side of having all those high antibodies would be. Any ideas on that? Or?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. The positive side is, of course, the antibodies are there in case there's a new exposure. You don't have to start from scratch. You're already prepared. Mm-hmm. So we keep some antibodies to things pretty much all of our lives, like measles antibodies and mumps antibodies and things like that. And I don't know the bell curve on how fast hepatitis C antibodies are supposed to disappear. So I can't help you there. Hopefully Google knows.
Wikipedia.
You think that could be related to any kind of issues with having too many antibodies if they're way out of range?
So, you know, I don't know for sure, but I would look at your areas like your albumin and your globulin on your blood test and see where those are on the bell curve.
Okay, yeah, they're all good and white blood cells and all that type of stuff. So I guess all those other immune markers are good.
Yeah, so the big autoimmune marker test, if you get that book, The Autoimmune Fix by Tom O'Brien, he lists a lot of these tests for autoimmune markers, and those are different kind of things than what you're talking about. And it's kind of expensive, I'm told. I haven't looked it up to see how much, but they take the 21 most common autoimmune markers and look for those in your blood and see if you have any of those. And of course, the other option is to go off all gluten, dairy, and sugar and heal your leaky gut. And then if that happens and the fatigue goes away, you can assume it was an autoimmune process that you just didn't have the money to go get the diagnosis for. So that's how I kind of look at that. But it's a good book, that Autoimmune Fix, and he has a lot of YouTubes, Tom O'Brien does.
And he has a website called thedoctor.com.
It's real simple stuff. He explains it very clearly. And so if you wanted to check on autoimmune stuff. So I would Google, though, and see what is the normal time limit for the hepatitis C antibodies to go back down to a reasonable range.
I actually did run across some stuff on some medical sites, and they said about 10 years.
Okay. So the body must really consider that a big, important thing to do to keep a bunch of people on standby and ready in case some ever comes back.
But just so you know, Tom O'Brien highly recommends what Rich was just talking about. I mean, he really thinks that everyone needs to clear up the gut issues, particularly getting gluten out of their system. He says that every single one of us do not have the enzymes to deal with gluten. And it's just a matter of how long our bodies can continue the assault from not having those enzymes. When we're young, we can get away with it without any kind of symptomology. But it's kind of like when we have a chain, if there's a weak link in the chain, we're going to have a breakage when you pull on it in that weak area. So yours might be the liver.
Yeah, but we don't know he has autoimmune. So the one thing I want to say is that if I had hepatitis C and took something for it and wanted to see if I could do something to change the antibodies, I would do a resentment list.
Yeah.
And I would write down all the places and things that I have resentments about. And I would share those with at least one other person and do the turnarounds on the big ones. Flip those backwards and see where in my thinking program I inherited this way of thinking that creates resentments. That's what the liver stuff is often about.
Yeah, I like that
That's
idea.
And I'm thinking here, you know, that body was had 20 some plus years looking for that enemy and fighting it. Now all of a sudden that enemy's gone. And they're like, no, you're not going to fake us out here. We're just going to keep up the soldiers, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's not a bad thing. They'll go after other guys that they haven't had time or the resources to go after. So this is your look at it as it's always going to get better. It's always going to get better.
And the other test that came out low, thyroid was in the low range. And you know how that tests go, and testosterone. So I start taking some topical testosterone and some Natrathroid, 1 grain a day, and that seems to pick me up out of the ditch. Any long-term problems with that I might get in trouble with?
I don't think so. People do really well typically with thyroid, and most of us can go off of it after a while without any side effects. So if you want to see if you're getting the right amount, check your underarm body temperature before you get out of bed in the morning. You'd like to see it be 97.8 to 98.2. So keep the thermometer on the nightstand and stick it in that armpit. And that'll tell you when your thyroid's reset up to the optimal range.
And if what you have is a tendency to see those numbers go up and down more than 0.3, so let's say you're at 97.2, if it goes up to more than 97.6, and then it goes down to 96.5 or something like that, and it's bouncing all over the place, typically that's a sign that you've got an adrenal problem going on. So when you have the lower temperatures consistently, it's the thyroid, but that bouncing number is adrenal. And you might want to look
right
at some...
Yeah, you're right about the adrenal meridian. You know, I listened to that interview Patrick did with Mark Starr and how he was saying how to prevent and reverse cardiovascular disease. And remember, I had that high calcification score? All his patients on 3 grains or above, Broda Barnes protocol. And so I was like, wow, you can take 3 grains, you know, and I could take 2, no problem, you know. I mean, actually, when I take 2, it lowers my blood pressure.
Yeah, it usually does,
Okay, Robert. Okay, you're doing good, Robert. Keep at it, kid. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
See you real soon.
With interest rates near zero, 10-year bonds yielding less than 1.5%, many investors are questioning where to park long-term capital. With the U.S. dollar facing economic uncertainty and losing purchasing power on a regular basis, it is critical that investors protect their long-term wealth with some physical assets. United States gold and silver coins will provide just such protection. Call us at SDL at 1-800-878-2646. We'll help guide you into acquiring physical American gold and silver coins. 1-800-878-2646 or on the web at usgoldcoins.com for the best in American gold and silver coins.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who've suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I'd been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Click on the One World Whey banner ad right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
And remember, you silly rabbits, One World Whey is the same place where you can get Synergy One. Synergy One, which is a great for raising T levels. It's like a guy like Robert who is low on T. Since Robert never listens to me, he goes out and does other stuff. But you could do like pine pollen, Synergy One, and colostrum, and you get that T level right up there. And I think is even a better choice than taking the other stuff. It's just a food, you know. Synergy One's a protein kind of thing, and pine pollen comes from the trees and the birds and the bees. You can do that, and then also check out this ProGirt. I think there's a really something going on with this product. It has 100 trillion kind of, holy cow, 1 trillion beneficial bacteria, human probies. From a human gut from birth, little baby guts, I guess, is where they got them. Most probiotics contain animal and plant strains. These are all human guys. A little bit expensive things, but you could probably just do 5 doses, 1 pack, and do it 5 days in a row. And I think you're going to really see some action. I mean, I've felt and seen and experienced changes for the good in my elimination and colon, and I don't know, wow, in 2 days. I've just taken 2 doses. Really powerful stuff. It's the most powerful probiotic I've ever taken, and I've taken lots. It's called ProGirt, and it's available on the One World Whey website, and you'll see it there, and you can get some if you want or not.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Sister Rust, where are you now? I met you over Rocky Mountain. Feeling blue, waiting for a last frame to walk through all together. But when you closed your eyes, it was then I realized you were so far away. There was nothing I could do to stop you feeling blue anyway.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Every time I play that song, I get a couple emails and people say, "What is that song? Who is that?" And I don't even recall the fellow's name who sings that. I don't even know where I got that thing. Oh, well, Sister Rush, you could probably find it if you want to get it. Isn't that cool? Something about that is really like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. People could have seen Patrick going strictly ballroom during that.
I was strictly ballroom. That's right. Kept waiting for Sharon Stone to show up to dance, but she never showed up. God. Sister Russ. Okay, here's Jules. Shingles. Longtime Shingles.
Bye-bye.
When would you decide to take antibiotics to see if that would help it? Or do you have any other recommendations? So much on the internet, like wheatgrass, turmeric, colostrum. Would you consider antibiotics at all? They know it harms the liver, but would probies help it when taking antibiotics?
You know, a virus isn't supposed to be affected by antibiotics,
right.
And that's what we've got here is a virus.
Right.
So, you know, Rich would know more about the pharmaceutical side of things than I would. But I have seen amazing results right when an outbreak begins using DMSO on the lesion and doing manual lymph drainage, so in the lymph areas that are closest to the lesions, and also using a laser directly on the lesions themselves, a red laser.
Okay, so let's say this lady doesn't have a laser, and she's had this a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you guys... Now, Doc, explain, though. I mean, don't we think that shingles is some kind of a measles thing?
Chickenpox.
Chickenpox virus. And so you'd want to make counter offers to your body.
Yeah.
And ask your body, would you use this vitamin C, selenium, lysine, olive leaf, combo kind of a thing, would you use those things instead of this virus to do this healing process that we call shingles? So that's what I would be looking at, is what kind of counter offers could I make? If this person does coffee enemas, for instance, I would put an immune globulin powder in there. If you're not sensitive to dairy, you can do colostrum and some of those sprays of PRPs and all kinds of immune globulins that different companies make. You can take them orally and in enema. I would do a lot of vitamin C. I would get the liposomal vitamin C and drink a bottle a day if I had shingles.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah. And high doses of B12 and B-complex.
Mm-hmm.
Get those in the body somehow, because they'll help prevent that post-herpetic neuralgia, that pain that comes after the virus is gone. And a lot of people get this long-acting pain, and they say that's the worst part of it, the people who get that. So if you can prevent that, if you know somebody that'll give you the B vitamin shots or IVs, that's great. If not, do sublingual or transdermal, and get a bunch of good Bs in there, a bunch of healthy fats, anything that's good for nerves.
Nerves.
And if you've had it a long time, sit down with somebody that does recall healing and remember that story of separation, that story of painful separation where somebody was slapped or spanked with a belt or some kind of thing like that, and either physically or metaphorically, and resolve those feelings. And then that will also help the shingles resolve.
Hope that helps. Juan writes in, what would be the recall healing stories behind poor digestion of fats and or malabsorption? What are some suggestions to correct these issues? And he's got three questions here. We'll just do one at a time.
Yeah, so first I always wonder how somebody knows they're not digesting fat. Is this something that they actually really know? For instance, if their poop always really floats and looks greasy, that means a lot of fat is coming through and they really are not digesting fat. And if they have signs and symptoms in their body that suggest that they don't have enough fat, like dry skin and nails and hair all the time, regardless of what they do. Mm-hmm. So assuming that's the case, there really is low fat. The thing I would want to do is take stomach acid with meals and see if that helps. Take lipase enzymes after meals and take bile salts with the digestive enzymes if my gallbladder is not functioning properly. I want to have a nice dark brown poop, and that means I have plenty of bile salts in there, and those have to be released in good quantity for fat to be digested well. So that's where I would start and see if it makes a change.
So if the poop is darker, then it means you got the good bile thing going?
Yes, you're making lots of bile on your poop, and that's getting rid of lots of poisons and also is emulsifying fats. Huh. And then the pancreas needs to make lipase, and that's the digestive enzyme that breaks down fat. If I'm not making enough lipase, I can't digest fat. Those are typically taken 20 minutes after meals. Mm-hmm. The bile salts can be taken with meals. The stomach acid part, if somebody's low on stomach acid, the gallbladder won't squeeze very hard. So if the gallbladder doesn't squeeze hard, you don't get the big squeeze of bile with your meal. And then your poop will be light colored and you won't digest as many fats. So those are the parts that I've been taught about it.
So the poop color could determine, possibly be a clue, whether somebody is low on stomach acid.
Yes, and if you have a greasy floating stool, you know, all that fat's coming through without being digested.
I see. All right. What are some of the most potent things that one can do added to the diet and supplements for someone looking to restore vitality to weakened adrenal glands? Weakened adrenal glands.
Okay, so weakened adrenal glands, you'd have to know how weak they are and what a person wants to do, because there's lots of levels here. If it's really mild, you can just salt everything you drink, and that can be enough to make the adrenal glands come back. The next level up would be taking vitamins B5, B6, and vitamin C. Those are vitamins for the adrenal glands. The next thing up would be taking herbals and things like licorice. Licorice is actually kind of a powerful one. If you do licorice tincture and licorice tea, it'll actually raise your blood pressure. So if you have high blood pressure, you can't do that one. But there are things called adaptogens, herbal adaptogens, you know, ashwagandha, for instance, rhodiola, all these kinds of things, ginseng. These are all adaptogens that help support adrenal function. And then you can add in over-the-counter hormones with glandulars. So if I'm a male, I take DHEA with an adrenal glandular in the morning. Now, if that's not strong enough, you have to go to the direct cortisol by prescription. And so you have to get a doctor to help you with that or order it from overseas and hope it makes it through loving customs.
You can also do a homeopathic of adrenal, which for some people is really helpful. And I wanted to mention for the woman with herpes zoster that oftentimes a homeopathic remedy called Rustox, which is poison ivy. And the symptoms of zoster are very similar to poison ivy. You get the crusting, you get the pain in the location where the lesions are. So she could try Rustox and see if that's helpful for her.
Poison ivy. Remember that song? Poison ivy. Poison ivy. I think we should play that one. For Patrick, can you give us any updates on your use of Gary Hanna's monatomic minerals, such as gold, copper, and selenium formulations? Update. I just love that. I just really enjoying these a lot. I've been nebulizing gold, copper, and silver. You know, I'll just do third maybe. And then I'll do some of the 3% hydrogen peroxide and do it for about half an hour. And I don't know, I feel great. Feel better than ever overall, everything. It's amazing. So I just like them a lot. I think they're very powerful. And probably the most strongest, safest, real monatomic out there. And it is naturespureorganics.com. We have a link right on our front page. He's got a really cool five blend clay. Have you guys ever tried this one that he's got? Man, it's pretty cool. Really nice. I think he puts five things in there, the healing clay, that he kind of figured out over the years when he started helping his son not die from, what was it, MRSA. Saved his son with this clay. Saved his son. There, he was just sent home to die. He had MRSA when he had all this. Remember the automobile accident. So it's calcium monatomic clay. I don't know what's all in there. I used to have the ingredients. Anyway, it's a really nice clay, and you might want to try that too. Also, Gary Hanna gets real, the real deal, no fooling, no kidding around, genuine emu oil from Australia, which is very potent, and it's one of the most similar things to the skin. And he says most of the emu oil out there is not good because it just became a fad. You guys remember when the emu thing, a couple years, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Well, people start buying emus because they, you know, and they raise them in a pen. They feed them cornmeal, hydrogenated oils, antibiotics, human growth hormones, worming. They did all this weird stuff, you know, just like they did with the cows. And you got to be careful if you get emu oil, where it comes from. Know the source. And he gets the stuff from Australia. No antibiotics, no growth hormones, no worming stuff, free range. Because this oil comes from a gland out of the emus. And so you don't want to have emus that have been places where you don't want. So he's got some emu oil there too, so you can try that. So that's a little plug for Gary's stuff. I love these products. No, let's see. Where are we here? Hold on a second. Man. What are the causes of bruxism? Oh, teeth grinding while sleep. Please, can you tell us how this condition can be cured? Huh. And which of the cell salts can be used to restore youthful elasticity to the skin, help create a clear complexion, hair? We're going to do a really cool show with a fellow in Europe on cell salts that's a really interesting guy. I think next week. I don't know much about cell salts, but I do know enough to know that skin silica is one of the good ones I would play with. I don't know about cell salts in the liver. Do you know Meridian, cell salts in the Meridian? The liver?
Asking for the skin.
No, she said the skin and then the liver too.
Okay, well, skin, definitely Silicea is one of them. And I use a company from Belgium for my cell salts. I like their combination called Melange. But there's another one called Bio something.
Bioplasma. That's from Highlands. That's the one we have in our store. So, we think silica, right? Meridian is best for the skin.
But salt also might be good.
Which one?
Nat Sulf. You know how good sulfur is.
Oh, the Nat Sulf. Yeah, okay. Nat Sulf, too.
I have to look it up.
Yeah.
I have to look about that.
Yeah. All right. Nat Sulf. Here's Nancy. Why do I get cramps in the groin, inner thighs, if I have a drink or two in the evening once in a while? Wow. Well, there's a little shot, and then she gets cramps in her groin. Try to drink water more during the day, unless it's not enough. One of you guys have some ideas. Crampy groins after a little drink.
Okay, so first I wanted to say something about the bruxism, about the grinding
of the
teeth.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even do that. Well, sorry. Yeah, good job. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so that's a kind of a story in a family where a person has to keep their mouth shut.
Oh, okay.
The clients that I know of and have heard, there are stories in the family of children out of wedlock that were kept secret and raised in the family as if they were someone else.
Ooh.
And then no one's allowed to talk about that. And so everybody grinds their teeth. It's a way of, we've got to do something. There's all this anger and unrest in the system. we've got to do something, but we can't talk about it. And so it's a grinding of the teeth. And so if a person gets to that story and tells it, they'll stop grinding their teeth. And wear a mouth guard until you don't, you know, yeah. you get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, so you don't grind your teeth up. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts about that one.
And some people will say that bruxism has to do with parasites.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
And definitely anxiety issues as well.
Sure.
So, you know, working with meditation before you go to sleep, calming thoughts, you know, doing what I call the inner smile. It's a wonderful meditation technique where you just close your eyes and deeply relax and just let a very quiet little gentle smile come up in the mouth. It causes a deep level of relaxation through the whole body, not just the mouth, because of all the, you know, innervations there. So doing an inner smile before you go to sleep might actually be a wonderful thing. And, you know, definitely you don't want to keep that up because grinding your teeth down is not a good thing.
No, good thing.
It's help in the meantime, what Dr. Massey is suggesting, where you go ahead and get yourself a mouth guard in the meantime, is a really smart thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a fun thing to do, too, that sometimes you can just do like, what is it? What would you call a thing when you just kind of go like,
yawning?
Oh, wait a minute. You interrupted my thing. Hold on a second. Like, it really works if you really get into it, you know? Whew.
Yeah, the big sigh.
Yeah, what is that? A sigh? Is that the word? A sigh?
Yeah, big sigh. That's wonderful.
Isn't it like,
Yeah.
Something that simple. Just really, pretty cool. 888-663. We got a million of them, folks. Don't worry. We'll just keep them coming. We got a million of them. Oh, Steve Quayle. Rich writes in. That was the fellow that Patrick mentioned about the Giants. Yeah, Steve Quayle. He has written about the Giants and talks about it. I heard him on Coast to Coast years ago about the Giants that used to walk the earth. And there's some old history about those. There must be something to it. I mean, why would people just make all that up?
Well, and when you look up forbidden archaeology on the internet and see actual pictures of the skeletons, it's hard to ignore that.
Oh, they found skeletons, Doc?
Oh, yeah.
Really? No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things that are the size of supposed Bigfoot or bigger.
Ah.
And these things get unearthed and great big beings. And there's so much of it, it's like you'd have to do a lot of work to fake all that.
How big were they? Do they theorize how tall they were?
Well, you can actually tell how tall they were. Some of the skeletons are intact. And so you'll get to see that on Forbidden Archaeology if you look that up.
Do you have any ideas like in feet?
Well, you remember your guy who wrote that 3-volume series. What was that physicist's name? I have his book upstairs. And
Zachariah Sitchin's?
No, this was the guy. Was going to go to the North Pole and explore. I have all of his books upstairs. We bought them all. He's a very interesting guy. He said that the original giants were believed to be like 36 feet tall.
Really?
And their half-breeds were like 18 feet. And then depending on how much human and how much giant would tell you what size they would be. A lot of these 12-foot skeletons, I'm told, have been unearthed in the United States even in recent years. So you can see that on Forbidden Archaeology. It's not just a leg bone where you have to guess. They have whole entire skeletons on some of these.
Yeah, they probably keep that undercover because the National Basketball Association would get involved. You know, that'd screw it up, you know. That's funny. That's great. 36 feet, man.
Yeah, so in the Bible, you know, it talked about how most of the women died because the babies were so big.
You think?
And supposedly that's why the genetic manipulation by a more direct laboratory method was undertaken.
Wow.
And that quote, the Popol Vuh, which is the quote that goes along with our Genesis one, where it says in Genesis, let us make man in our image, which is an interesting sentence in and of itself.
Yeah.
In the Papal Vuh, it says, let us make this creature to serve us and honor us all our days on this planet. Let us engineer this being. And that's the kind of language. It's more of a genetic modification language. In this Central American sacred book. And the idea is that in the Crusades, most of the folks were dispatched in order to burn all the documents that didn't fit with the church's doctrine. So a lot of the libraries and their stuff was destroyed. But at any rate, it says it in the regular Bible, so I'm a good Southern Baptist. So
yeah,
I'm
but
sticking.
I'll tell you what, that's right. That's right. Meridian, you'll be interested in this, being a homeopath. I guess about 6 weeks ago, or I don't know, 2 months ago, well, we really got a lot of fleas that start popping, right? Just, whew, man. And we really got on top of it with Doodle real quickly. We got these little flea traps, which are amazing. They're little lights, and they just catch them. And we start doing the Wonder Side, which is a Texas product, actually, with cedar trees. Pretty cool. Works great. Yeah, and then we had the colloidal silver and got control. She didn't have any fleas at all. And I really had a talk with him, too, and I think this helps. And I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. But I went out there and sat in the sun and just closed my eyes, and I had a chat with him. And I said, okay, guys, you know, really, would you just mind, like, leaving? Because this is not happening, working for us. And there's a lot of other people you can get on. There's you know, bunny rabbits and, you know, whatever, you know. Go. And I think it really helped. I know it helped. Because I think, you know, we're all connected. Anyway, so something happened after that where she started scratching. And I kept checking, and there's no fleas, right? There's just, like, no fleas. So maybe she was kind of, I don't know. So it just kept going on and on and on and on. Really, it's more scratching than I've ever seen her in her life. And start doing coconut oil, and that helped, and some fat, you know, like grass-fed kind of pork fat and beef fat, and that helped, you know, for skin. So then we went to Dr. Falconer, homeopathic effect, a week ago. So, you know, he wants you to talk to him for about a half an hour, right? And just tell you everything, because this is how he does it intuitively, because a real homeopath, they kind of get it that way. And so he talks and talks and talks. Well, how did this, and what did she do, and, you know, and then what did you? And so he said, okay, I think we'll try this. So he went and got 30X sulfur, a big dose, Meridian, you know, like a big dram or whatever, you know, those little bottles of it, which is kind of a... kind of a lot, more than two or three petals, you know, like in a blue tube. He just he put it down there. He said, now what I want you to do is every day you write down exactly what you experience with her, right? Everything, just food, diet, poop, scratching, behavior, everything. If anything's different, and you do this, and we should talk like once a week, and we can figure out if this is going to do it or... He said, if you really want to get to the cause of it, we can really look deeply, and this might even bring out some other symptoms, which might mean another remedy, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And yeah, it's really cool. I love this guy. And you know what? It's amazing. And she's lying here right now, hasn't scratched for 3 hours.
Which, yay.
You know, and it hasn't gone, but it's been amazing every day. There are longer periods between she does scratch. Just one dose of sulfur. Uh-huh. One dose of sulfur.
Homeopathic sulfur.
Homeopathic sulfur. Yeah.
And there's a couple of others. Sulfur is amazing for itching, but so is a homeopathic serinum. And there's a remedy that's made from red ant venom called formic.
Formic acid.
Yeah, Formica rufa. It's actually made, Formica rufa is the name of the red ant. So that homeopathic remedy of Formica rufa can really be wonderful for when you have an insect bite that gets red and forms a little white pustule on top, that sort of thing. It can clear them very quickly.
Mm-hmm. For Dr. Massey and Meridian, I have an itchy anus. I beg your pardon. There's an itchy anus.
Well, Time out. We got to go back to the person who has a drink and gets cramps in her thighs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Can you read that one again?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. How intuitive you are. Check this out. Nancy wrote back. She still hasn't figured out. You got a doc. You don't even have a computer. Nancy says, okay, but I still didn't get the answer on the cramps and the links after a drink. Good job, doc. You're on it.
Yeah. Thank you. So,
Well, I'll be rich next lifetime while you're in that mood, while you're in that mode. So. Just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So this person has a drink, like a drink of alcohol, some kind of wine or something.
Yeah.
And then cramps in the thighs. Is that what that says?
Groiner.
Cramps in the groin. Okay. So with cramps in general, if you look at the direction that the muscle is moving and the cramping, what would that be telling your body to do?
Say that again.
That's what cramps are about. So whenever somebody gets cramps in their calves and their legs, they're trying to run or jump in response to something. Just think of it openly, like metaphorically.
Sure.
What am I trying to run faster and get away from or jump over?
Or, couldn't you just be running towards something too?
Okay, but typically in biology is designed for survival. And so you're typically running away from the saber-toothed tiger.
Gotcha.
And so what is it that I'm... But it could be a mating opportunity. You're right.
She's over there.
She's over there, and I've got to run, go get her. And so that I get the cramps in the calves when something comes up. So if I'm getting cramps in the groin, which way are those muscles pulling? Are they pulling to open the groin or close the groin? If they're pulling to close the groin, somebody in the family tree had some alcohol and got pregnant, and it wasn't planned, and it created some suffering. So now, in memory of that, when we drink, we have a cramp that closes the groin so we cannot conceive a child.
Whoa.
If it's in the other direction, it's inviting a conception. So you'd have to know which muscle groups are pulling.
How would you know that?
Well, you'd have to be her. And I hope she's going to say online, which it is now that we've gone through that. But you see which way it is. If I get these cramps that are pulling me to close my groin, I would go with that first story that somebody in the family tree had some alcohol, got pregnant when they didn't want to. I'm trying to show them the answer for that. If they had just closed down their groin and cramped up their groin every time they drank, this misery would not have occurred. Right?
Right. I get it. Okay. So if you're trying to open up the groin, that means you just want to have some sex.
Well, and somebody
or something
in the family,
like that. Yeah.
Somebody in the family suffered around being devalued around sexuality. And so this is an answer to open up and explore the sexual powerful energy that's going on in a person's life. And it's a memory of that in the family where somebody got devalued around their sexuality, which, goes back to the syphilis picture, which is basically syphilis is about a devaluation where my body gets some illness. And it's the conflict between how does religion see sexuality and how does biology see it?
Yeah, that's probably how it got spread with the sex, right? Syphilis. Even no matter where it came from, it could have came from somewhere else.
Right. And what's actually going on is it's the shame around sexuality that draws the syphilis organism into the body and gets it to multiply. You don't catch it in the way people think. But with this cramping in general, you've got low magnesium, potassium or calcium or some mix of those. And you can deal with that homeopathically or by boosting those particular minerals. Mm-hmm. You could try massaging magnesium oil into the groin area and see if that helps relieve it. But those are some basic ideas.
George, let me hold on a second, Marie. George wants to know what happens if I get cramps like at the bottom of my feet, you know, like in the arch or, you know, what does that mean metaphorically, Doc?
Okay, so
running away maybe.
No, I'm not sure what that's about, but I know the feet are the mother, and they're about contact with the mother. So when people have high arches, it means that my conflict with my relation with my mother is painful, and I want to limit the amount of my surface that touches Mother Earth. That's how the biology works. When people have flat feet, they want to stay in contact with their mother more than a normal amount. There's something that's important about holding on to mom. So I have the flat foot so that more of the surface of my foot touches the earth.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so if I'm cramping and curling my foot so that less of it is contacting the earth, what's going on with me and mom? What is going on right now that could be painful? Or what is this an anniversary of that was a painful experience between me and mom? Or am I carrying this for someone in the family?
Cool. Okay, Meridian, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted, this is just homeopathically, but, yeah. And when you're talking with your person about cell salts, because I am not an expert in cell salts.
No,
but
me
I
neither,
have,
no.
I've used them a lot in the past, and I'm using them right now for someone to help grow their teeth. But magnesium phosphoricum is a cell salt, but it can also be a homeopathic remedy. In the cell salt form, I believe what it will do is help your body to utilize the magnesium that you have in your system.
Right.
Particularly when people are cramping, whether they have the magnesium or not, they're not able to use it effectively. So MagFos taken along with magnesium supplementation, and you'll need to decide which one is best for you, glycinate or taurate or malate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll want to use a little bit of magnesium phosphate or magnesium phosphorica along with it if you're not getting it into your feet and you're still cramping. And then, of course, the other possibility is the potassium, rarely calcium, but there are body types that actually are the opposite, where calcium causes relaxation and magnesium causes contraction. But, yeah.
Meridian, from time to time, we've had on Judy Hoy on our show. Fascinating. We had her on last week. She's up in Bozeman, out there in Montana. She's been doing animal rescue for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been able to track amazingly. She's quite a statistician. She's been working with Stephanie Seneff, seeing the connection with GMOs, glyphosates, and the malformation of the animals.
Right.
You know, with the underbites, you know, they're not forming, but she's able, and she's documented this, getting with those little animals and just using the bioplasma, you know, the 12, the Highlands, and the number two, which is it number two calcium? I think number two is calcium.
One of the calciums. There's like one four calciums.
Yeah. And she does that three times a day, and these little guys, they grow out of their underbite and stuff like that. They just real quickly because their bodies are forming. So it's pretty amazing. And that's what she says, that these cell salts do not give the body minerals like people believe, but they help teach the body homeopathically how to absorb the calcium or the magnesium or the sulfur in the system.
Yeah, that's how I've used them.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not a replacement.
Well, I feel sad that little animals are getting overbites and underbites.
I know. That's amazing.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, and I asked her, I said, well, gosh, you guys are out there in the middle of nowhere. How could you have that much, spraying or, you know, GMO farming going on? She says, well, what happens is they're actually getting it in the rain that's coming over from California, whatever. And it comes over, you know, it's in the water, she said. It's crazy, man.
None of us are. I mean, we are all exposed to an enormous amount of glyphosate now from our rain and from the air.
Yeah.
Just